Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, this is usually the time where I say we have our resident in-house lender, Mike Denslow, from Homebridge. But we all know that, including today's show, this is Hydro Weekend in Tri-Cities. Yes. And Mike is a huge, huge supporter of the Water Follies. He's been a past president. And he is on just about this time. He is on hydro duty. So we were not able to pull him away from that, but I'm sure he's down at the races somewhere there listening. So we do like to thank Mike for everything he does on the lending side. When it is not this weekend, he is jamming out loan approvals and loans for many of our clients and people around the Tri-Cities.
Yep.
Those of you that are down there enjoying the hydros, we are going to make this a special hydro topic real estate show.
Okay.
I'm kind of keeping up with the theme there, McKay. Now, just now, before we get started, McKay,
yes,
I always do like to bring to this show a little bit of hydro trivia. And so I did a little research before the show. Do you remember who the inaugural winner? Well, for bonus points, what that inaugural year was?
1966.
Gosh, McKay, you're good at this. Now are you going to tell me that was labeled and known then as the Atomic Cup?
Yep.
And are you going to tell me who the winning driver was?
I want to say, was it Bernie Little?
Well, Bernie Little was the owner.
Okay.
But he was not the driver.
No, it wasn't George Henley. It wasn't... Chenoweth? No.
Last name Brow. Bill Brow.
Okay.
Bill Brow listed as the driver. But yes, I love that you got Bernie Little in there as the owner and the inaugural winner. So 1966, that would make this, everybody down there enjoying this weekend show, that would make this the 54th annual running and known as the Hapo Columbia Cup now. So, so awesome, huge, the biggest weekend in Tri-Cities going on right now. We've got the air show, we've got the hydros running, and just a huge, huge, if you've driven by Columbia Park, you've seen the boats are out, the tents are up, and they expect it to be just a fantastic weekend of racing. And even yesterday, McKay, I saw, you know, just out driving around, showing a couple houses. I mean, I got an air show just from being around town. So the stunt planes are out there, and those guys are a lot of fun to watch. So
yeah, we get them right over the top of the station, too. So
absolutely. So be safe and enjoy this weekend. But to start off, we do always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. So this one was a new one for me coming out of Rob Report, and the headline was artist Ai Weiwei designed only one home in the U.S. and it just hit the market. So now a lot of people, if you're like me when I was doing this research, maybe I'm not cultured enough, but I had to ask who Ai Weiwei was. And he's actually regarded as one of the most famous living artists. And so he had designed a home with an architect firm that is in Ancrum, New York. And he's a Beijing-born artist. And so this house was very, very contemporary. In fact, I'm kind of thinking, McKay, I think if you remember last week, we talked about Kanye West wanting to start up.
Oh, yeah, with the mini house thing.
With the houses. But looking at the designs that Ai Weiwei did, I think, you know, artists like to do collabs and collaborate on songs. I'm sensing an Ai Weiwei Kanye West collaboration coming up here. And so when you when you see that, know that I called that first on our little real estate show here.
Absolutely.
The next thing we always like to do, and in place of our local real estate story, we always like to kind of temper the celebrity real estate story with a local one. But today, in honor of our hydro-themed topic, I thought I would dig into our multiple listing service and see, is there currently a property listed, much like the celebrity listing, that would be a hydro listing? And so on the website, actually listed listed by Cheryl Bumgardner and Chris Mano over at Redder & Company, I did find a listing, 806 North Fisher. And so North Fisher, this is actually up on the corner of Canal Drive. And so going along with our hydro topic, so this is a 3,400 square foot house, three bedroom, two bath. And it has views of the Columbia River. Some of those Canal Drive properties, you know, are famous for, if you've grown up in the Tri-Cities, people even listening might know, a friend of a friend, you've probably been to a 4th of July or a hydro party on Canal Drive. And I don't, I'm not exempt from that.
My father-in-law involved in real estate for years, and he had some friends that lived up there on Canal, and we watched a couple races from up there.
Absolutely. If you're a smart real estate agent, when you sell a client one of those homes on Canal, you write into the contract that you have rights to attend all those parties.
Okay.
That's how that works. But there is truly, there's, like I said, there's a gorgeous home for sale up there right now, 3,400 square feet. And actually, I thought it was very fitting because even in their listing description and in their pictures, they have pictures of the hydro race course and the hydro, and the hydro's running. So well done to those agents in showcasing that. But that is an active listing. So if you're driving up there on Canal Drive and you're checking out the hydros and you've thought, I would like a place to host a hydro party, give me a call. We can definitely sell you one of those places right now. So one of the things that goes along with this topic when we're talking all things water and kind of our hydro topic going along with the races this weekend is we're in a really, really unique area to where a lot of people ask about living on the water. And so we have really three rivers, you know, converging here in Tri-Cities. And so we have a lot of opportunity for waterfront living. However, it comes with a price.
Yes.
And that is one of the things I thought to go along with this topic that we could go over first is it really creates a supply and a demand issue. Obviously, lots of demand. There is a lot of people that would want to live on the water. And when you look at the available properties on the water, that doesn't change very. There is a finite supply of riverfront homes that you can actually get in the Tri-Cities area.
Yeah, because sooner or later you run out of river.
Yeah, you run out of river, and you also, I mean, if you go too far north, you run into Hanford, and they're not developing lots out there.
No, the last time we checked. Sorry.
And allowing that to happen.
Battelle is not subleasing.
Absolutely. And so you run out of available property. So I pulled up a quick list before I came over to the show. And just to give an indication of waterfront homes available active, if you came to me and said, Lance, in the general area of Richland, Pasco, Kennewick, and maybe I'll even go Benton City and Burbank, what could we find? And so there are currently 11 active properties for sale riverfront, And they range in price, the lowest being $499, and the highest being $1.3
million. Wow.
So now, of those 11, and the $499 is really kind of an outlier. So that is Burbank on the Snake River.
Okay.
And just to give you an indication, that's 3,500 square feet on a half acre lot. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful views, and gorgeous property also. And then you go to the $1.3 million property, actually $1.295. And that is also, interestingly enough, now that is less square footage, but you have more acreage, 1.43 acres. So one of the things definitely to talk about is that the average price of the homes on the river, of those 11 that are available, the average price is $897,000. Whew, ouch. Okay. Now compare it to the entire Tri-Cities market, which we've talked about many times on the show, is currently running in that range of about $310,000. So you're looking to get onto one of the rivers and have that riverfront property. You're looking at about three times the money to get onto that. So once again, it's that supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
A lot of demand, very, very low supply there. Now, there are some factors to consider when you're looking at riverfront property.
Yes.
One of those, the number one thing that I wrote down.
Can you afford it?
Is that's not the number one thing. I guess, McKay, you are right. I felt like going over the pricing. We had covered that. But yes, okay. So we will go with McKay and say the number one thing is, are you ready for that price point?
Yes.
The second thing that I wrote down that a lot of people don't realize is something to consider is easements. Now, a lot of times you look at a property that is right on the water and it looks like you're like, oh, wow, my property goes all the way down to the water. Well, on many, many of the properties that we look at in Tri-Cities, there's actually a Corps of Engineers easement to what they call like the high water mark line. And so what happens is a lot of people will look at a house on the river and they'll say, gosh, this is beautiful, but that tree is kind of blocking my view down there near the shore. I think I would like to go out there and, you know, trim up the limbs and cut some of the limbs off and,
or build a dock
and better my view, or build a dock. And we'll talk about docks in a second. Do not think that that is what you can do. In fact, there's nothing that will make the sheriff or the police show up faster than if you are trimming trees in the river easement.
Yeah.
Big no-no. And in fact, you might actually find yourself in trouble with the federal authorities at that point. And so definitely something to consider is, where does the easement go to? What parts of that do you own, and what would you be able to change? How far could you change your lot or landscape up to the river? So,
So
those are definitely some of the factors to consider when you're looking at these properties. McKay, you brought up another great one, and that is, do you have a dock or a dock right or permit that would allow you to put one in? Once again, another thing that is a finite supply. Not all homes you see on the river will have a dock, and you are going to be looking at a premium for the ones that do. In fact, you know, we've done some statistical analysis in the past, and we've compared the sales of homes without the dock and the sales of homes with docks. And it's a staggering number what that permit and that right can give to you. And sometimes we could be talking hundreds of thousands of dollars difference in the pricing of the home. So dock rights and permits are another thing to look at for value. We've been talking today about our topic in honor of the hydroplane races, and Water Follies is our topic today is all about water with real estate as our hydro topic. Before the break, we've been talking about homes on the water. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about the opposite, which is problems water can give you if it gets inside your home.
Now, stick around for that right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been going along with our water theme. We've got the hydros. We got the boats on the water this weekend. Big weekend for Tri-Cities. Before the break, we talked a little bit about some fun properties, locally available properties that you could view the races from, the advantages of that. And then we talked a little bit about pricing on what it takes to purchase property on the water or in those river corridors. Now, on the opposite side of the hydro topic, I kind of prepared because we've had a little bit of this recently, and that is keeping water out of your house. One of the biggest red flags that comes up in home inspections is water intrusion. And I mean, we've had some doozies over the years. We just, even 2 weeks ago, we had a house where there seemed to be a lot of either pest or we couldn't tell water damage on the seal plates of a home, and couldn't figure out what was going on there until we got rid of some sheetrock and realized that the house was old enough that the exterior walls did not have insulation. And so what was happening was as the temperature changed in between the sheetrock and the siding, walls, condensation was building up and then causing mold to on the backside of the sheetrocks and then dripping down and rotting out the seal plates. And so once again, you look at a situation like that. In this particular case, somebody had moved moved into assisted living. And so you're like, wow, they were, you know, living with a lot of mold in that house. And so the number one thing, in fact, as I was researching and getting ready for the show on a lot of this, I mean, that was a perfect local example that happened here 2 weeks ago. But the number one thing is that proper insulation helps maintain your temperature levels, keeps them at an optimal level, and then keeps that condensation problem away and outside of the house. So whether it's adding a little bit of attic insulation, making sure the walls are properly insulated, that's a huge issue that we see. The second thing that's very, very local that comes up a lot is anytime there's any sort of remodeling done, making sure that all of the final plumbing connections in the crawl space were done properly. Crawl space is not a part of your home that you're naturally in a lot.
No.
I mean, do you remember? Do you even remember the last time you were in your crawl space?
We don't have one.
You don't have one. So that there's an option. Some people don't.
But we have one underneath.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's okay. Underneath the home.
Manufactured home on a concrete foundation.
Yep.
Very clean and nice. I've looked underneath.
But you can't think the last time you were actually under
I've
there.
I've never crawled underneath okay, so, there.
You know, and that would be the normal response we would get from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that is a place out of sight, out of mind. So especially we had a house a couple of years ago where a remodel was done, new master tub was put in, and they never connected the master tub drain. They never crawled under and did the final master tub drain connection. And so they didn't use it a lot. And so in this particular case, what was happening is, you know, once a month they would take a bath in this big, nice master tub and they would use it. Then they would, you know, pull the drain and the water would all run out. Everything seemed fine. Well, fast forward, we were selling the house. And the inspector crawls under there and he immediately is like, man, there is all vegetation under here, like growing.
It's like jungle
land.
And
so they were just getting that they were enough water was going in that it was basically feeding weeds and stuff underneath. And in this case, what it was there was a missing vapor barrier, which allowed stuff to grow up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the people were like, gosh, we did that remodel, you know, 4 years ago. This has been happening for 4 years. And so that's a big one. Another thing that happens that we see a lot this time of year is it's very hot outside. And so people are running their irrigation sprinkler systems a lot longer than they normally do. So when we do home inspections this time of year, we see a lot of additional water in the crawl spaces where it's coming in from the sprinkler systems. And a lot of times it's not even a broken pipe, but maybe just a sprinkler head that got misaligned.
And so you've seen that sprinklers like at a golf course or a yard or a park where the water is spraying out on the road instead of
absolutely that kind of thing. It happens. The sprinkler gremlins come in and readjust them. I'm not sure how it happens, but
well, they do that with my lawn tractor.
The tractor hits it or moves it, or the spring breaks on one. And so what happens is a lot of times that water will enter through a crawl space vent. So one of the other big items that we put on, and this happens a lot of times with not necessarily even older homes, but homes that are 3 or 4 years old. So the next tip that we had down there is really making sure, and this comes up a lot in home inspections, is that you are directing water away from the house. So what it is the grading needs to be done so that the house, so that the dirt and the land is sloping away from the foundation. So when it runs off the roof, hits that area, and then slopes away. So what happens in construction when you build a house is you will, there's footings underneath your foundation that are wider than that foundation wall. So they will have to excavate wider than they need. They'll pour the footings, pour the foundation. Then what happens is they backfill against that foundation. And when they backfill, they don't always compact as much as they should against the foundation. And so after 3 or 4 years, a lot of times what will happen is the dirt will settle. And so now when that dirt settles, you now have the ground sloping towards your foundation. And so you need to go back in. It's kind of a pain, but you need to go back in, remove your, a lot of times people have put landscape rock or flower beds. You need to remove that rock, build that back up so that you have that slope away from your foundation. These are just the type of things that people, it's pretty easy to grab a flashlight, you know, once a year, at least if you haven't done it at all. Pull open that access panel to the crawl space. A lot of times it'll be in a master bedroom closet. Some are exterior even still, but very often in modern building, we find those in the bottom of a closet. But grab a flashlight, stick it down there, just kind of look around and see if you see. You should not have moisture in your crawl space.
No.
It can lead to mold, and that there's a lot, not everybody, but we've talked before that is a hot button health issue. You don't want to have moisture below your house.
To mention critters too, because they go for where the water is.
Absolutely. So it can lead to a lot of other issues. The other thing that I wrote down, and we don't have a lot of it, but a lot of times when we don't have a lot of this around here, it also means we don't think about it a lot. But before the season starts, before the rainy season starts, and I was kind of thinking about this, we had those storms and stuff earlier in the week, and you get those, sometimes those summer storms are worse because they'll come through quick and they'll drop a lot of water very, very fast, and our ground is not ready for that, and so we get runoff. So the other thing to look at is make sure you've cleaned your gutters.
Yes.
You know, we do get leaves and we get things that pop into them. So if you don't want to climb up there, hire somebody to come out there and do that. But cleaning the gutters are a big one. And then I can't tell you how many times we see this. Also, using those gutters and the extended spouts to direct the water away from the house. I don't how many times we're on at home inspections and that spout or that kick plate that kicks the water away from the foundation has it been removed or it's blown away. But it is just the gutter is coming and it's just dumping the water
straight down,
straight down next to the foundation. And so that's not a situation you want to have with water runoff. So continue to check on those items to make sure that you're directing the water away from the house. The last item that I put down that we get a lot, and it's a simple one, but that is on the roof inspections around, you have vent jacks where venting comes out of the top of your roof. There is almost always in our heat after 5 or 6 years, there is a rubber boot that goes around that vent jacket. And it cracks. I mean, we get our extreme heat, our extreme cold. You know, now it's in the hundreds, so it's hard to think about. But we're going to go from that to freezing temperatures. And those have a tendency to crack. And when those crack, those are designed to shed the water away from that opening. When those crack and are not working, then the water's running right down those cracks and not shedding off to the shingles. So a little bit of a roof inspection to check those items will help keep the water out of your house. So that is what I had today for our hydro topic. Please, I will tell you, I was cringing driving over here for the show today because I did have to cross the Blue Bridge.
Yes.
And I was following somebody who was deciding to watch the races instead of the road.
Yeah.
I know we have some amazing police and firefighters, EMTs out there today, but please, as you're crossing the Blue Bridge today, little service reminder.
No rubbernecking.
Yeah, do not watch the races while you're driving over the Blue Bridge.
No, so, either way.
I was literally changing lanes to not be behind this person who was more interested in the races than driving.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, gosh, have a fantastic Hydro Waterfallies weekend. Enjoy the races. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.